This is a message for the preparation for the healing event that is going to happen January 6, 2019. God has laid this on the heart of the women in our church and giving us time to prepare ourselves to come and to meet with Him. And in this time of preparation, I believe that that this is obedience on my part to deliver these words of faith, that your faith may be built, and to reveal that we serve a God who desires to answer our prayer, to meet us at the point of our need, and that our faith is built and not destroyed, or where the enemy can come in and to compromise or to cause us to shrink back, which is what happens when we're disappointed, when we don't receive what we ask for. And I think maybe that's the reason that this is why the Lord has given me this scripture for us to begin with. My prayer is that these words would be encouragement for all, and that it builds your faith as well as mine as we prepare, as we are consecrating ourselves and preparing ourselves for this time to meet with our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, and the reconciler of man to God. And that includes us, ladies. Let's bow our heads. God Almighty, we come, and in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would, God, take this word as you have given it to me. And Lord, as I am not the greatest communicator nor speaker, but God, that you would take this Holy Spirit and let it be a very, very sharp and accurate arrow and your bow that would pull back and pierce our hearts, God, to deliver faith and a building faith in us, God. And I just thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being called your child and your daughter. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to be looking at Mark chapter 5. We're jumping into the middle of it, verses 21 through 24, and then verses 35 through 43. Let's read this scripture now. When Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now, starting at verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kuma," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. This scripture right here comes on the heels of Jesus delivering the demon-possessed man who was living in the tombs, in the graveyard. He had sent the legion of demons into the swine, if you remember. And in chapter 5, verse 17, this was the reaction of the people there who had seen this, who knew this man, knew how he suffered and he was tormented. Then they began to plead with him, who? Jesus, to depart, to leave their region. Here was the healer, the deliverer that could drive away a legion of demons, and they wanted no part of it. They did not want that in their land. They did not want healing. They did not want deliverance. What they wanted was profit. Profit. They wanted money over deliverance and healing. And so they pleaded with him to depart. And Jesus, he granted that request also, and he leaves. He crosses over to the other side. And when he gets there, a great multitude gather to him. I want us to see first, before we come to the healing of Jairus' daughter, that there are those content with your suffering and torment and are happy to consign your life to the graveyard, as they were with this man that Jesus had delivered from the legion of demons. The only one who can set you free comes, and your freedom has upset the order of the community. This does not cause them to believe. Now, miracles, we are not coming to this healing event that the Lord has ordained for us, January 6, 2019. We are not coming to this event looking for a miracle to bring someone to salvation. That is not what miracles are for. You see this miracle that happened, and they ask him to leave. They wanted no part of it. So that's not what this is about. But it is about us meeting with him and him answering our prayers. Him revealing his great compassion and goodness to his people and his willingness to answer prayer. They ask the deliverer to leave, and he does just that. Now listen, if you do not want Jesus to work a miracle, to deliver, to heal you, to reconcile you, to be the lifter of your head, then just ask him to leave, and he will leave. He will not struggle with you. He will simply leave and go to where there are those who are looking for him and who are asking him, and he will meet their needs. That's why it's happening in countries that are impoverished. They choose healing over money. When he leaves, he goes on to find faith. Oh, what a question for us. Will he find faith in us? Will he find faith in us? Jesus has all authority, and he has just demonstrated his authority over the demons. But his authority does not end there. But he reveals in this scripture that we're reading today that he has authority over sickness and death. Now we see in this scripture that we read that Jairus comes to Jesus, but it is desperation that brings Jairus to Jesus. His 12-year-old daughter has been sick, and now this sickness needs a miracle. Because the doctors, remember, he is a wealthy man, and he is able to call any doctor to buy any medication that is necessary for his daughter. But all of that has failed him. The doctors have done all that is humanly possible, and death is imminent. He knows this. He's been told this. And what does he do? He leaves his wife, he leaves his daughter, and he goes looking for Jesus. And he doesn't have to go far. He only has to look for the multitude. Jesus is not turned off by Jairus' desperation, and he's not turned away by our desperation. He does not say, oh, well, you're desperate. That's why you're coming to me. So I have no time for you. I will not answer you. No, that is a human response, not a divine response. And Jesus is divine. He uses and allows this to bring us to him. Those times in our life of desperation, don't think, oh, I can't come now. I need to wait until things are right. No, come at any time. This man is not only a father, he is a ruler of a synagogue. Modern day pastor is what you would call Jairus. He may be one of those pastors that preach that healing is not for today and teaches his congregation that healing is not for today, that these are just a lot of stories and that the girl had only fainted. There are multitudes out there who preach that sort of thing and do not believe the absolute firm word of God, the firm word of God. We know, we just read what Jesus does. And so here is the pastor. Now the religious leaders of the Jews, the Pharisees, had made it known, the Sadducees, those who were ruling in the temple, who rule over the synagogues, had made it very clear. Anyone following Jesus, if they believed that he was the Messiah, if they put faith in him and they followed him, would be excommunicated. And that big word means they would be kicked out of the temple and the faith. They would no longer have anything. They would be shunned by the religious Jews. But desperation has brought him to this place of looking for the healer, for the Messiah. Jairus has heard of Jesus, and so now he knows where he has to go. And he comes, when he comes to Jesus, it's not in secret, it's not in the cover of night, but it is in the midst of a multitude as they are gathering and thronging around Jesus. Everyone would have known who Jairus was in that community. All of the Jews would have known. Jairus not only has said by his approaching Jesus that religion and ritual is not what he needs, he now falls at the feet of Jesus and begs Jesus to come, touch his daughter, and she will live. How does Jesus respond to this desperate ruler, to this desperate father? Jesus went with him. He did not chastise him for his lack of belief before. He did not chastise him that he had waited until it was desperate. He simply went with him. If you have been religious and following all the rituals and prideful of the place of importance that you have in the church, there will come a time that you will be faced with your great learning and knowledge and comfort of religion standing in great need. And will you at that time, at that very moment, fall at his feet and cry out to him with your great need? This is what Jairus did. This is the place that he was in his life. It wasn't just the poor man's Jesus. It wasn't just a poor man's religion, but he comes to all. It does not matter what status you are, what position you hold, what your economic level is, whether you're male, female, child, or adult. He comes to all. And he does not despise your desperation. The fact that you had resisted before, but now desperate times have called for you to come and to fall at his feet, to lay all of your pride down, to lay all of your learning down, and to come and fall at his feet. Will you believe that Jesus has all power to heal and raise to life the dead? There is a moment in everyone's life a choice has to be made, whether you will have faith or continue in unbelief. We see that Jairus did not have great faith, but he had faith to come. That was what he had left, and he had that faith. He had heard of the miracles of Jesus. He knew that Jesus was in town, and he left his dying daughter. He left his mourning wife. He left his house. He left his reputation behind, and he came. And he fell at the feet of Jesus, and he made his request known. He did not try to reason it out. He just said, "Come and heal my daughter. She's at the point of death, and she will live." He knew that if Jesus came, that she would live. We know that if Jesus comes to us, we will live. He has promised us life, eternal life, abundant life. If you are sick, if you are sick to the point of death, come. It is the time to come. See, I want you to see Jesus responds to what he had. He responded to the faith of Jairus, and he went with him. Now we see, first of all, what did Jairus have to do? Jairus had to put himself in the presence of Jesus. So come, I want you to come to the healing event that he has ordained for us, and put yourself in his presence. I am not calling out to you as some faith healer. I am not going to be laying hands on you and you're falling over. I don't have fakes sitting out in the midst of those who will gather on January the 6th and then declare that they are healed. We are coming just as Jairus did. We are believing because we are desperate. We need healing. There are those of us who need healing in our body. There are those of us who need a healing in our heart. There are those of us who need a healing in relationships. And Jesus is able to do all of that. That is a healing that only he can do. And desperation, if desperation is driving you, come. If your faith is driving you, come. Come and put yourself in his presence. Jairus had to humble himself before Jesus. Listen, come to the healing event with the multitude and humble yourself. When Jairus came, he had not believed before. He had been a religious man, a leader of religion, but yet he had not believed. He had not put his faith. And the time came that he had to humble himself. And when he humbled himself, it was in the multitude. It was with all of those thronging, trying to get to Jesus. And Jairus made his way there and fell at Jesus' feet and humbled himself in his presence. And Jairus made his need known. He came and he told him. He said, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." And so you have to come. Come and be prepared to absolutely make your request known, not to be ashamed, not to be prideful, but to come at his calling, at his bidding. Know that you're at the end of your rope. Know that you're at the place that you are coming for him to heal you. Jairus had faith in the power and the goodness of Jesus. So come. Come. This is a time for you to be prepared to allow your faith. If you have faith as a mustard seed, come. Come to the healing event with faith in him and his power and his compassion to heal. Do you think that he only did this for Jairus and he's not done it since? That in all these thousands of years he's never ever done that? Listen, if it were recorded, the books could not contain it. He is no respecter of persons. This man was wealthy. He was not poor. He did not do it because of his wealth. But what I'm trying to tell you, so many people say that it's only the poor and the needy who need Jesus. No, you can have wealth and you can have learning and you can have all of those things and still have desperate need. Come with your desperate need. We know that Jesus and Jairus are interrupted as they turn to leave. During this seemingly delay, a report comes to Jairus. "Come home, Jairus. You have no need for Jesus now. Your daughter is dead." That is what the devil will tell you. You've been to Jesus and he did not answer what you thought he should have answered. He did not come as quickly as you thought he should come. You think that he has delayed. You think that he is not coming. And so the enemy of your soul comes and says, "You have no need for Jesus now." Oh, let me tell you something. We have a greater need when that report comes, because it wants to make us stop. It wants us to say, "That's okay, Jesus. It's too late now." It is never too late for Jesus. We may come to Jesus and make our request known. He confirms to us that he is coming and he's going to answer, and then a delay. God spoke very clearly to me in this. A few weeks ago in our morning service, the Holy Spirit moved. And as you know, my husband suffers from it truly is a debilitating disease. It's called trigeminal nerve pain. I watch him suffer, and it cycles sometimes where he is just absolutely incapacitated. The pain is so incredible. The suffering. I watch him suffer. And yet I see the faithfulness of God in the midst of suffering, that he doesn't turn his back on the Lord, that he continues to have faith in the Lord, and he continues to move forward, and he ministers week after week, and every phone call he takes the people to prayer. I see this, and I love Jesus more. But that particular Sunday, the Holy Spirit moved and said, anoint him and pray. I'm going to heal him. We took a step of faith as a congregation, and we anointed Pastor Mark and prayed the prayer of faith. I fully expected to hear him say, I am healed. And the report came. After that prayer, he went through a terrible, terrible cycle with that trigeminal nerve pain. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand. God's delay does not mean God's denial. My timing is not the Lord's timing, but I know without a shadow of doubt, God is building my faith that he did call us that day, and that he absolutely, absolutely has healing for Pastor Mark. God is never slow. What seems slow to the one who's suffering is when Jesus says, do not be afraid. Fear would try to creep in and cause us to doubt and not have faith and not believe and think that Jesus, that this is a refusal on his part, a denial on his part. Listen, I can tell you that it is not positive thinking on my part, not some type of super spirituality, but Jesus has not spoken to me, the Holy Spirit has not spoken to me, nor to Pastor Mark, that he does not want to heal him. I believe that he said, anoint him, pray for him, and I will heal him. Now, God doesn't do it the same way every time. And so I wait to see the manifestation of that. And the enemy, listen, I am not some super spiritual giant. I am as frail a vessel as the Lord could call. Fear would try to creep in and destroy your faith. Jesus said, do not be afraid when you hear that report. When you see that, do not be afraid. He said, only believe. I believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. Come to the healing event that he has ordained with extreme faith, because the one who can answer will not fail you. Just take for a moment, it's not recorded here, but this is me taking liberal imagination with this, with Jairus. He had laid all on the line to go and ask Jesus, and now his 12-year-old daughter is dead. Jesus took too long. He took too long with that woman who touched the hem of his garment. When he had turned to leave, he should have followed me then. That's what he should have done. He should have followed me then. Does he not know what I have risked to be here, to fall at his feet? Does he not realize? And now they come and tell me, she is dead. First thing I want you to see is that Jesus tells us, do not be afraid. Fear is the absence of faith, and fear robs you of your faith. Fear and faith cannot abide together. To trust in Jesus We have to put away fear. So as you prepare for January the 6th, 2019, be delivered of your fear. Do not be afraid of standing in front of the multitude, making your requests known. The second thing Jesus tells Jairus, he says, only believe. Don't try to believe and be afraid at the same time. That's not belief. Don't try to believe and figure it all out. You know, that's what I was trying to do, figure out what was going on. And don't try to believe and make sense of the delay. Only believe. That's what he calls us to do. Only believe. Let me tell you, my testimony is that in this many, many, many decades of living and knowing my Lord and Savior, he has not failed me one time. He has not failed me one time. And he will not fail me in this. He will not fail you in this. He will absolutely meet you. Why do we wait until January 6th? I cannot tell you. All I know is that is the date that he is calling the handmaidens of the Lord to come. To lay down our pride. To lay down our fear. To lay all of these things at his feet and make our requests known to the only one who can answer us. We have his word just as Jairus. The situation told Jairus all seemed hopeless. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe it looks hopeless. Maybe the doctor's report is this or that and there's no relief. There's nothing that can be done. We'll just try to make you comfortable. But you're just going to have to continue in this. God's word brings hope. Jesus follows Jairus to his house when he enters. The house is filled with weeping and wailing. But Jairus is bringing Jesus with him. Jairus is not weeping, nor is he wailing. Jairus takes his wife by the hand and says, "There is hope with me now. Follow me as I follow Jesus, and our daughter will live." The weepers and the wailers, they ridiculed Jesus. Now, if you remember in chapter 5, verse 17, when he delivered the demoniac from the legion of demons, they begged him to leave. And now here he is going in to heal this daughter of Jairus's, and those who were there in their professional role to weep and to wail and to mourn, they ridicule Jesus. So let me just tell you, if you have surrounded yourself by weepers and wailers, cast them out. When we come together on January the 6th, we are not going to be gathered with weepers and wailers and those who say, "Please leave Jesus." But we are going to be gathered with those who follow Jesus and have faith. Bring your faith to believe. Join. Let our faith be joined together. You will hear him say that day, "Arise." Your faith has healed you. We see that in this very incident that immediately the girl arose and walked. Not only did she walk, she was hungry. And Jesus said, "Feed her." Let me tell you something. Sickness and death have no choice but to let the girl go. And when we come together and we make our petitions known and Jesus is there, sickness and death will have no choice but to let us go. All authority is his. Sickness and death cannot ridicule Jesus. Sickness and death can only obey the voice of Jesus. Stand amazed at what he will do, what he does, and what he has done. He did not fail to meet every petition with compassion and healing and deliverance in his word. Go through and look at it for yourself. My desire is that your faith may be strengthened. Come aside and prepare to meet with our Savior, our Healer, our Deliverer, and our Reconciler. January the 6th, 2019.